Turn, if you will, in the book of Psalms to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, found on page 662 of your pew Bible. Hear again the word of the Lord. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me! They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, we continue in our study of these Psalms of David. And we have before us this evening a psalm of great comfort for the people of God. Here we see that the comfort, our comfort, is to be found in an all-knowing God. As we think about that, I think it's important that we first look at this idea of the world's perspective when it comes to this idea of an all-knowing God. The sinner does not delight in being known. In fact, that's one of the reasons why the deeds of the wicked are described as those things which go on in darkness. For the sinner delights in the cover of darkness to do their deeds. And yet here we see described by David the folly of their thinking, that they believe that there is anything that is outside of the bounds of the knowledge of God. Here the psalmist speaks even of his own life as he begins describing this comfort. He's comforted to know that his God, the Almighty Creator of the earth, is aware of his comings and goings, his sitting down and his rising up again. That none of these things are too minuscule, too unimportant for his God. But rather, the God whom he loves, the God whom he serves, is aware of all of these things. And this is important. If you think back to just a couple of Psalms ago, we were dealing with that lament of God's people as they sat by the rivers around Babylon. And they yearned to be back in the promised land. They felt so far away from that house of God. And yet here we find in Psalm 139, David speaking of the wonders of God, that even when we seem to be far away, we're never outside of the knowledge of God, that he is ever alert to our needs. You see, as opposed to the wicked, who like the cockroach run for the cover of darkness, not wanting to be exposed to the light, the Christian and the Christian's love is here described because of God's intimate care and concern for them. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. And if you've gone through difficult seasons in life, if you have suffered loss, what a comfort that is. Because sometimes in those seasons of hardship and those seasons of loss, the words don't come easily. We can't think of the things that we would hope to say. And yet this intimate relationship of God with his people, God knows. God hears the cries from our hearts before they ever cross our lips. He knows, and that's a comfort to us when we can't think of the words to say or how to express even our needs. We see within these first six verses, in this passage, in this section dealing with our comfort in this all-knowing God, the comfort of the creature in the hands of his Creator. He says, "You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hands upon me." Can you think of any better picture of the security of the psalmist? The security of the man, woman, or child of God? When you think of God hemming us in, being our front guard and our rear guard, and having his hand upon us as our protection. The people of Israel, as they left Egypt, had a glimpse of this, did they not, as they approached the Red Sea and God moved to position himself between the onslaught of Pharaoh's armies to protect and guide and make way that path for them to cross in safety across the sea. Then he moves on down in verses 7 to 12, and for he goes from a section which had been dealing with God's omniscience, what he knows and how great that knowledge is, to now a section which delves into his omnipresence. Verse 7, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. We see here that God is ever present with his people. It was one of the great gifts God gave following Christ's ministry among us, that Christ ascended into heaven and sent forth that advocate, God's Holy Spirit, to dwell within us, to guide and direct us, to be a constant reminder of his presence with us at all times. And here David is singing his attestation to the great comfort of knowing that God is ever present with him. Again, if we look back to the lament in Psalm 137, the fear that often can creep into the hearts of God's people is that in some fashion, they're outside of the reach of God. And certainly many generations ago, it was a more popular thought that gods were localized, that once you crossed out of the borders of your country or that area in those pagan religions, you were outside of the care and influence of those deities. But again, we see how the Almighty is very different from those gods of the pagans. Because God's people are never outside of the reach of his arm. His arm is not short. His reach is not limited. And he is present with his people wherever they are. And that's a comfort to God's people in the difficult times that they face, to know that they are never alone. His presence yields for his people a peace that is not known by the world, not familiar to the wicked. For the wicked have no one to rely upon but themselves. But God's people know peace by his being with them. We see here, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me. Throughout this pandemic, I've repeated, although this is a scary time, and the threat of a virus is real, the comfort to each one of us is that there will not be one day subtracted from that which God intended for any one of us. There's not a single one of us whose life will be cut short according to God's book. And that's a comfort to us. In fact, it again is one of those things that causes the world to look at Christians as odd and as foreigners, unusual, peculiar people, because they don't live in fear, but instead have an unexplainable courage and boldness, even in the face of great adversity, because of their confidence in what God has established and their comfort in knowing that his plans cannot be thwarted or cut short or in any way adjusted by the things that happen in this life. And as David has been thinking upon these things, he marvels at the power of God. And the power of God here, he utilizes a different form of creation. Here he is marveling at God's creative capabilities to bring about life, to form our human frames. And he marvels at their complexity as an expression of the omnipotence of God. He marvels at the complexity of man formed by God, kept functioning by God, protected by God. And for those things, he rejoices and is comforted. Verses 17 and 18, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they're more than the sand. And here we see his greatest comfort. I awake and I'm still with you. Have you ever had a bad day and you went to bed dreading tomorrow? Perhaps you know you're going to have to go back and clean up the mess at work. Perhaps you know there's a relationship that has to be tended to tomorrow. And you go to bed concerned of what may be ahead of you. But here we see that the psalmist's comfort is that when he awakes, God is present with him. And we need that. We need that comfort. That is a comfort that is real and true. And as we grow in our appreciation for God's knowledge and his presence with us and his power, it's something that tends to grow as we mature in the faith. Comforted because we have experienced it day after day. God has proven himself again and again. Then we take a little bit of a break. We see kind of an imprecatory section within this psalm, verses 19 to 22. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred, and I count them as my enemies. We see that God is pleased to bring about within the heart of David this sensitivity to the wicked, this disgust with the ways of the world. But yet we don't see here that David takes these matters upon himself, but rather he trusts in God, that God will carry out his righteous judgment as he sees fit, when he sees fit. But we see here that the psalmist is aligning himself with God, that he views those who hate God as his enemies as well. And from that, we also are reminded of how the psalmist isn't content to pursue the things of the world, the passions of the flesh, as the world does. But rather, as God has been pleased to enliven him, to make him sensitive of transgressions and sin, to make him aware of the beauty and power and blessing of the commands of God, his desire is after those things rather than the things of the world. And then he ends by asking God to challenge him. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. It's a scary thing, isn't it? To ask God to test us, to examine us, to search the hidden recesses of our hearts, to uncover those comfortable sins, those sinful tendencies within us. to seek for Him to search out our thought life. And yet that's what David does. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Well, he's already told us that God knows his heart. There's nothing that's outside of the realm of what God knows. He calls forth the words before David can express them. And yet David knows he is in need of God's cleansing work within his heart. That he doesn't have the power or the wisdom in himself in order to accomplish this thing, to root out all of those lingering vestiges of sin. But God has to do that. And he closes this psalm by saying, "Lead me in the way everlasting. God, you've hemmed me in from ahead and behind. You've put your hand of comfort upon me. Lord, lead me where you'd have me to go. For I trust in you. You built my frame. You know me intimately. You have been pleased to be present with me throughout my life. Continue, Lord, to lead me forevermore." And so may He do the same for you and I. Rooting out that sin that remains, establishing us firmly in His ways, that we may go willingly and with much delight in that way set out by Christ. Let's look to Him in prayer. Almighty God, again, we marvel at your awesomeness. We marvel, Lord, at all that you know. And we are thankful, Lord, that you are not a God who sits afar off and is unconcerned for those things and those whom he has created, but that you know us intimately. You know our very thoughts. You know our words. You see all of our comings and goings. And Lord, as those whom you've been pleased to call out of the world into the glorious light of Christ, we are thankful that you know us. And we are confident in your handiwork. That you, Lord, do not delight to leave us as we are. But you have begun a good work in the hearts of all of your people. And as we said, that work cannot be cut short. What you have begun, you will certainly finish. And so, Lord, we pray that you would incline our hearts to your word. That we would go, Lord, willingly, gladly, enthusiastically, in that way set out by Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have awakened us to our sin. That you have changed our desires and are changing our desires from those days when we once pursued our own desires and pleasures to now, Lord, causing us to desire to do your will. Oh Lord, we do await your judgment on your enemies. And we rest in your most perfect timing. And we pray that you would use us for your purposes, as your witnesses, as ambassadors of Christ, to all those whom you put across our path from this day forward until Christ would come again, that as you were pleased to take us from being enemies and through Christ to make us sons and daughters, you may delight to do so with those who today act as your enemies. Lord, as we return to our homes this night, may you give us a good night's rest. And may we awaken tomorrow delighting as we begin the day that you are with us. For we pray these things in that name which is above all names, that of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.